Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Deforestation feels like a distant abstraction to most of us in sunny Southwest Florida, and the sheer numbers are staggering to the point that it's hard to pay attention. 15 billion trees are cut down every year. The thought of planting enough trees to replace them would be seen by most as an impossible dream, but two Lee County men say that it is possible to at least make a dent. They started OneTree.org earlier this year and are building on a partnership that began a few years ago. Here in the studio today, we have Wilson Revelle and Russ Ringland to tell us more about the project. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us. It's really a pleasure. This is my favorite radio station. So.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
It's mine too. Well, we are talking about a project that's aiming to replace all the trees taken out by deforestation, and it's starting right here in Lee County. Call in with your thoughts or questions at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Wilson, I want to start by asking, where did the idea for one tree come from?
So you mentioned 15 billion, and it's really the math. So the study came out in 2015 from a group of about 45 scientists from around the world who produced a report in the journal Science called Mapping Tree Density at the Global Scale. And they used a variety of techniques from, you know, traditional surveying to satellite imagery, density measurements, that sort of thing, to come up with that number. So this was kind of jolting news that, okay, there's a lot of trees, a lot more than maybe we were originally estimating, which I think was coming around 4 trillion, that it's, you know, 3.5 billion, that it's actually 15 billion. And there's a lot more trees on the planet. However, the pace of deforestation is so much bigger than was anticipated. And so
– the numbers were surprising in that we have more trees than we thought we did originally. However, we are cutting down a lot more than we thought we were.
So fast. And increasing numbers, you know, as the population goes up. So it's kind of reaching like this velocity curve. So it's an elaborate study that was done. It's linked on our website. The number – so about – and this is a rough estimate. About 4 billion are being replaced. And that's just kind of looking at numbers from the Rainforest Foundation, from Arbor – you know, the arbor tree, that sort of thing, that about 4 billion are going back, and then also just standard reforestation groups, so the ones that are coming in behind the timber and lumber industry, that, you know, we have this deficit of about 11 billion trees that aren't being replaced. We've got about 7.5 billion people on the planet. Okay, so we'll optimistically round down and say, you know what, this kind of means that we all need to be responsible for one tree every single year. And that's where OneTree.org came from.
So you just kind of did the math and boiled it down to everybody, every individual's responsibility.
You know, it kind of blew my paradigm on the matter. And it was just like, I don't think everyone knows. Like, this is the scale that we're looking at. And so if we can kind of get it into our head, we all need to make sure that we're putting a tree back in the ground. If we're going to just keep, you know, colonizing the world, it's one tree.
Well, that brings it down to a scale that's almost something that people can fathom.
Tangible.
Planting a tree a year is... Yeah, I can do that, but I can't probably do 7 billion personally. But when you have an individual with one responsibility, that kind of makes sense. So, Russ Ringland, you're one of the co-founders. Tell me how you became interested in reforestation. I understand your background's in construction.
Yeah, I'm CGC. I work in development and construction. And I started in a kind of a mundane way, just having light skin and not being able to find protection from the sun.
So, you're looking for shade?
Yeah. I started planting trees from seeds and then quickly moved to natives. For a little while, I had my own nursery and started working with Boy Scouts and Girl Scout groups with 10 or 20 trees at a time in different little spots. Rotary was a big help to me. Starting in 2004, we started planting on Veterans Memorial Parkway. We got up to 400, 500, 600 trees at a time. Where we would have 20 to 40 volunteers come out in 2 hours, we could plant an acre, you know.
Yeah, well, that's not too bad, especially if you don't do it in the summer because it's just too
hot. That's when we do it because that's when the rain starts.
And, oh, yeah, I guess it makes sense. But
yeah, so it's virtually impossible to go and water 500 trees every couple of days. You know, if you're like – we have done a couple plantings this year already where we got very lucky with rain right after we planted. We planted 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. I may remember it was drizzling all day, and Sunday morning it rained a couple inches on our
location. I remember that
location.
Weekend.
Then we planted Saturday again, 60 trees, and I had to go into the mud and wade water every single tree again on – I think it was Tuesday. And then we got rain yesterday. So we're pretty lucky in that sense. But for the big numbers, we plant in June and July, and a lot of times it'll start raining when we're walking out of the field.
So you guys became partners with Future Forestry, and then it evolved now into OneTree.org, correct?
Yeah.
Now, how did that evolution happen? You guys have been working together now for 5 or 6 years?
Right, yeah. So we met when he was the chair of the Environmental Committee at Rotary and I was for Kiwanis. So we were kind of in the same seat for very similar organizations. And he came and pitched that they were doing the tree plantings. And I said, that's exactly what we're looking for. So we started planting in that fashion. Kiwanis, you know, disengaged from doing environmental stuff. They really more focus on children's needs, especially with special pops here. There's a big need there. So they kind of got away from environmental. We saw an opportunity and a hole and a vacuum that needed to be filled to make sure that somebody was doing these extra sort of efforts like reforestation.
And now this year at OneTree.org. So when people think about deforestation, they often think about places like Brazil, Borneo, places where you hear about it and see the staggering images of here's a forest and then here's absolutely nothing. Tell me how that relates to Florida.
Okay, so the dichotomy is kind of we're looking at it like, oh, they're doing that and it's so awful they're deforesting the rainforest, which, you know, obviously we don't want them to. However, you know, we have a half a millennia of agriculture that has already occurred here in Florida. So, you know, they're doing it for the same reasons. In Brazil, in Indonesia, they're farming, whether it's, you know, cattle, and the Spanish were well known for doing big cattle farms down here in Florida. Same need. You know, they're doing it down there for the market. It's market driven. And that's, you know, what we already did. So what we're seeing in deforestation here is kind of a second round in a lot of ways. So we're seeing it, you know, through development, construction. But these used to all be farms. And before that, then you had the natives. But now what we're looking at is the growth in – it's not, you know, every single case on every single lot. But a lot of these lots, they're overgrown with trees that aren't even native.
Melaleuca.
Brazilian pepper, Australian pine, those sort of things that used to just be a farm at some point in time and eventually was, you know, parceled out and now it's going to be deforested for development.
So we were already deforested before now we're kind of re-deforesting. And I was talking to Will on the phone yesterday, Russ, and we were talking about every time I drive, I'll see a really nice looking forest. It kind of looks like a Florida forest. It looks like that to me, not that I know what a real native Florida forest probably really looks like. And then 1 week later, I drive by and there's nothing there. It's completely flat. And that's the model for construction. And then I'm looking at that and saying that's deforestation. But what you're saying is it's really not the native forest that we have in Florida.
Right. And there's a big change. I mean, Cape Coral was stripped clear 60 years ago. And up until just 20 years ago, Colonial had trees from 41 to 75. And now we're switching that because I've been planting up to 8,000 trees on Veterans Memorial Parkway. But the land that's on Colonial has been cleared one lot at a time. So Cape Coral is starting to look like there are more trees than you have on Colonial in Fort Myers. And that's a big switch for people who have been here for a long time. I don't pick on developers and contractors because those are the same people that help me get trees in the ground.
I know. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I don't understand why they do that. And maybe you can explain it to me with a construction background of why is it they level things? Do they have to raise things up to a certain level and they can't do that with the existing trees that are on a lot?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Why is a really tough question. You know, that's our economy. If we only had retirees here and there wasn't construction development, most of us wouldn't be here. We would be back in Pennsylvania and Indiana and there would be a lot fewer people here.
Or Ohio.
Right.
We have a lot of people
from
Ohio.
So I tend to really look at the positives, especially within the last few years. You know, solar's changing a lot. Water quality, we have a ways to go, but people are focusing on that. In sustainability, when we talk about buildings and construction, sustainability, the first highest rule is carbon. You know, what's happening with carbon? And there are a lot of changes in buildings. And in the life cycle of a building is all about carbon and how much energy it's using. So if you're putting solar on a building, you're changing the life cycle of that building a lot. And so now what that leaves behind is taking the carbon out of the atmosphere and reversing the process that we've been in for the last, you know, couple hundred years. So when we have buildings that are sustainable, they're producing their own energy, putting enough trees around it to make a carbon sink and pull that carbon back out of the atmosphere is what's important. So I'm not the biologist. I'm not the water quality scientist. I'm not the forester. I'm not the civil engineer. I'm just the guy who is driven to put more trees in the ground.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about deforestation and one local group's efforts to push back. We're talking with Russ Ringland and Wilson Revelle of OneTree.org. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So when you're replanting along roadways and things, what kind of trees are you putting in there?
Well, first rule is natives. Natives fit with our environment. They fit with our weather patterns and things like that. They fit with our flora and fauna.
Yeah, if they're from here, they might not need as much maintenance.
Or water, right?
Yeah.
And so then the second thing is if we're thinking solely about carbon, then I want to change the temperature and sequester as much carbon as possible. And one way to do that is to use trees with good apical dominance. In other words, they're growing with a single leader straight up. So instead of growing a short canopy of just oaks or something else that's 40 feet tall, I want to grow a forest that is 80 feet tall. And the result is that we cool twice the volume of air. And it's just more attractive scenery from the roadway.
So tell me about the projects that you've already completed. You kind of mentioned one already. How many trees have you planted so far?
In Lee County, probably close to 10,000 over the last 20-plus years. My central focus has been Veterans Memorial Parkway. And that was finished after the Midpoint Bridge was put in through the center of Cape Coral. And I have to give a lot of credit to Lee County DOT because they built a roadway with a lot of extra space on the side. So it was a good opportunity for landscaping and a lot of trees.
It was just covered with grass?
It was the city platted lots for more houses. And basically the county came in and put that roadway in and to make the extra bridge going over to Fort Myers, they bought lots. They bought individual houses to put that roadway in. And it's a really good thing they did because if you look at the roads, the cars that are on Veterans now, those people would be really scrambling to get to work otherwise.
Yeah, they'd be pretty congested. So what kind of pieces of land well do you guys use? I mean, how do you find a piece of land that's suitable for putting trees on?
Well,
are they city pieces of land? Are they private?
Yeah. Historically, it's been with relationships with organizations like the DOT. But we just heard from someone who we may be working with very soon as a possible land access rights to a preserve on Pine Island.
Oh, okay. So you can have private people that can come and have their land used. How do people get involved with OneTree.org?
We obviously have contact forms on the site and, we already, because we've been doing this type of work, have relationships in place, from efforts with Rotary and Kiwanis, that sort of thing. And so, for example, our project director is John, who is Russ's brother. Hi, John. And, these are the teams that are coming out quite often. But then, we got to give a shout out to the schools. We often will get volunteers that come out from the schools, Boy Scouts.
Let me run through a list real quick if you've got an extra second. I got to give a shout out to Tim's Tree Service because they bring me mulch all the time. That's
okay. So that's another question I was going to ask is where are you getting the trees from?
Trees come from a lot of them have come from John Sibley's All Native Nursery in Page Park in Fort Myers.
Are they donated or do you have to?
Usually purchased through donated funds from – originally, it was from Rotary, Kiwanis, something like that. Sandhill Nursery is a big nursery in Arcadia. They do restoration growing. So they grow maybe 20,000 trees a year that they ship out to different – and when you see a big nursery like that that's 15, 20 acres of trees, that gives you hope when you go past areas down here. You see 20 acres cleared. You think, oh, man. Sandhill Nursery is growing that many trees on a regular basis.
Yeah, I know every time I go by one of those cleared lots, I understand development, but I just feel so sad about the trees that get cut down. But that's why it makes me happy that there are things like this that where we're replacing them. And so people can get on your website. And tell me a little bit about the Mother's Day push that you did. I mean, Mother's Day's passed, but what was that project about?
So growing up, I often heard this ad. I don't know if it's still out there, but it was like, name a star after your loved one, right? Name a star after someone. and you call the 800 number and you name a star or whatever. And that was like, well, why can't we plant a tree and name it after someone, and you can literally go see it and give it a hug. Like this is much more, you know, terrestrial, not celestial, right?
And be a tree hugger.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. You could bring Grandma down. She could be a tree hugger. And it you know, it just inspired me to see if we could, you know, garner some support by saying we'll plant a tree for them, because that's what we're doing. We're willing to plant the trees for you. We just need help to, you know, finance the trees, right? So we get those sponsors, and then what we can do is, thanks to modern technology, you have the phone, we can take a photo, and nowadays the photo data has your GPS coordinates in it. So we've got a strategy of where we shoot from. We can actually capture the GPS coordinates and the photo of the tree at the same time, and then be able to share that tree with our sponsor and be able to show them exactly where it is on the map so they could go visit it.
Or at least visit it on Google Earth.
And that's a big difference between organizations. You'll see hear of nonprofits that plant trees in South America or Africa or something like that. And you send the money, you have no idea where your tree is. You know, it's hard to pinpoint or reconcile later on whether that work was actually done. You know, what's the result? And with us, you can see it.
You know, and GPS coordinates, it's not like the tree is going to get up and walk away either.
Well, that does happen.
It does?
No.
Well, no. What is that? What's the banyan tree, I guess, the walking tree?
Yeah.
No?
The right
full
moon.
That's a good point, though. I wanted to mention that when we do restoration planting, the idea is we put a lot of trees in the ground at one time, and they're smaller trees, and they're some of them die. You know, some of them don't make it. I've had times when all of the trees from a planting died because they have a fungus or didn't get watered because it was just simply impossible. We had 2011, we had a severe drought, and I couldn't keep up. We lost basically 1,000 trees. But since then, you know, we planted another 3,000 trees or 4,000 trees. So we don't expect to get 100%. What we do is we plant so many trees that most of them make it. We're in really good shape.
Yeah. But the idea of the Mother's Day thing and naming a tree for a mother, are you going to be doing anything like that in the future, maybe for Valentine's Day or Father's Day or Christmas?
Yeah, well, you know, the platform's in place. So when you sponsor a tree, you get a certificate. You can namesake it for them. So they'll get the certificate with their name on it, that sort of thing. So we built the software. So it's there. So it works. So I'm hoping to, yeah, do it again in some fashion, like you said, for a holiday or whatever. I hope that people would continue to buy more trees. What I'm worried about is like, okay, did they name that tree and that's it? It's going to be the one tree for the rest of your life? Because that defeats the purpose, right? Because we need everyone to be planting a tree every single year.
Yeah, a tree a year.
So hopefully, you know, it doesn't backfire on us.
Do you anticipate this going further beyond Lee County?
Well, so my goal and, you know, Russ, his brow froze when I say this, but we want to launch the campaign, and I don't know if this is an announcement or not, but 1 million trees for Lee, and this is what you're going to start seeing from us, and it may be for the indefinite future, I don't know, but we are going to plant as much as we possibly can here in Lee County. So 1 million trees for Lee. And until we reach that goal, we're not leaving Lee County. So you're stuck with us.
So once you get 1 million trees here, then you might look somewhere else.
It's going to be like, you know, when you guys do the funding week where you're going to keep bugging everybody until that's us. So we're going to keep bugging you until these million trees are planted in Lee.
So that is the goal, the foreseeable goal. We have a comment coming in from Twitter. This is from the Calusa Waterkeeper saying, great cause. Forested buffers near waterways are natural water filters. Mm-hmm. So there's another feather in the cap.
There's a couple ways that works. One is simply having roots near the surface in the ground breaks up the ground a little bit, allows the water to seep in. Okay. And we put a lot of mulch down around our trees. It stays more moist. And the shade from the trees keeps the water from being evaporated from the dirt. Okay, places that have been cleared that don't get new trees, that's a desert. I mean
– And then it ends up with standing water
And standing, for a while. Standing water is not a bad thing necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a good way to breed mosquitoes, but we need standing water in Southwest Florida to allow that water to perk into the ground.
Yeah, it needs to get in there.
That's how our aquifers get replenished.
But everyone's familiar with monsoons and mudslides and things. You have those out in the desert. You have those in deforested areas that you'll hear about people, you know, dying in mudslides because of those situations. Often it's because it's been deforested.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank our guests, Wilson Revel and Russ Ringland, our co-founders of the nonprofit OneTree.org. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck with the Million Trees for Lee. And if you have any thank more you. Questions about OneTree.org, you can find links to their website on our website at WGCUnews.org. Just click on the Gulf Coast Live tab. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1 WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM NPR for Southwest Florida.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Coming up, House Speaker Paul Ryan says investigations will go forward, but through a little lifeline to President Trump after news leaked that he asked to stop them.
It is obvious there are some people out there who want to harm the president, but we have an obligation to carry out our oversight regardless of which party is in the White House.
Also, HBO premieres The Wizard of Lies this weekend about Bernie Madoff, who took billions of dollars from investors in the largest investor fraud in history.
If the market let him look like a genius money manager, honestly, great. But if he couldn't look like a genius honestly, he'd look like a genius dishonestly.
And claims that Syria has built a crematorium to cover up killings, coming up Here and Now.
News is first.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Trump is telling graduates of the Coast Guard Academy today that adversity makes you stronger. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Trump is facing plenty of adversity himself.